News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Our number, if you want to call or text, of course, you can do that. 251-343-0106. Also taking your text about what you love most about the old United States of America, because in short order here, it's suddenly going to be the 4th of July, and on that day, we'll be home. So you won't be able to respond on that day. So we're just going to throw it in out there and talk a little bit about what you love about this country. And for so many people who have got bucket lists of traveling abroad, and that's fine, I get that. I've never done that. I've never been abroad. I guess the closest would be a cruise, but I have never been to Europe, and never been to, well, Mexico on the cruise. Canada, negative. So, you know, there's enough to occupy me here, I would say.
There's plenty.
I haven't gotten around, you know, it's not like I've gotten all 50 states, but, and I haven't even done enough travel in the United States, but what do you love about the U.S. of A?
Well, I have been fortunate enough, thanks to my parents really working hard to get me some trips. It was actually a really cool group down here. We would come down from Grove Hill, and it was a student, what did they call it? A student ambassador trip. It was people to people is what it was called.
Okay.
And it's actually really great. A teacher I became really close to, Miss Cindy Brown from Daphne Elementary School. She took us on these trips. She is Representative Chip Brown's sister.
Okay.
And, so I've known her her and that family. I didn't know Chip until I started working here, but it was really cool. We got to do some of those trips, and what you'll see, and of course there's great things outside of the country, but some of these places you go, and what it really does for you is it makes you realize how much you love America. And not to say that there aren't great things in a lot of these other countries. Of course there are. And such history. So many places are so much older than America. It's almost difficult to comprehend.
Yeah, I know, because we think we have some old historic buildings in Mobile. There's plenty up where I came from colonial days and from, you know, around the time of independence being forged up in Philadelphia. Historic homes, and George Washington stayed here and all that kind of stuff. But my gosh.
Well, and that's the thing for me, domestically, you know, I've done some traveling. I've really only gone out west to Colorado to see my brother at the Air Force Academy. Spent a little bit of time in Texas too, if you want to consider that far. It's not really out. I mean, it is. It's Texas, okay? But I haven't done the Northeast. Outside of just seeing family in Pennsylvania and going up to Altoona and maybe made a trip or two over to Pittsburgh, I have not personally been to or toured D.C. or Philly or any of those places that were so important during the forming of our country.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing up there.
My wife, her family from Massachusetts originally, so I'm going to get her to be my tour guide, be the family tour guide. We're going to take a trip up there at some point and do the whole thing.
Well, if you get to Boston, of course, you've got historic day trips, you know, all within, I guess some of them might be walking tours, but other tours that can really set you up where you have got a better handle on what role that city played in the history of the United States.
Pretty remarkable. Another thing I'm really interested in is, you know, of course, cruises are all right. You know, I don't know if I really want to go on a cruise to another country again, but these American cruises, some of them that go through like the Grand Canyon and some of these beautiful, you know, the Atlantic seaboard or the Pacific seaboard. I'd love to do some of that too. This just seems really cool. But
yeah.
I love Independence Day. I think I was saying it I said it in the first hour. I'd have to go with July 4th as my favorite holiday. Just all kind of comes together. I love fireworks. I love being with family, the heat, getting out, playing in the water. It's usually good vibes all the way around.
Yeah.
And it's perfect Friday. Our weather is setting up great.
It's hot. It's going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the last time that we were went to New York City, it was really interesting, Dalton, because it was probably, it might have been 2 years or 3 years removed from 9/11. And the city itself, I just remember the attitude of everybody there was very grateful. Fire stations were kind of, as you walked around Manhattan, we did a lot of walking. As you walked along Manhattan, the fire stations were wide open, almost like an open house, you know? Mm-hmm. And they seemed to be very humble and grateful. I think they understood how much America
appreciated them
mm-hmm. and loved on them and prayed for them after 9/11. So there was a real feel of, and I'm sure it's evaporated since, but at that time, it was the friendliest New York City I'd ever encountered before. Mm-hmm. And I would go there occasionally as a kid, but not that much to really form an opinion other than it was a big, kind of a gruff city. But those days when we were up there, post 9/11, it was kind of a different New York.
Well, and I can't comment on how NYPD or the fire department up there are treated now by New Yorkers, but I don't think it's anywhere near that level that we were seeing for the next 5-10 years after 9/11. And that's pretty stark. I mean, you look at a couple things. First off, just the likely next mayor of New York City, Mamdani, who through his words and actions, if he hasn't already said it outright, does not like the way America is right now.
So interesting. You have these people who come over. His mother was a filmmaker. Her father was. They were Indians who lived in Uganda. Okay, for whatever reasons, might have been because of his dad being a professor. I don't know. And they were asked to leave Uganda as they kind of were. Once some sort of a upheaval, it's like all Indians go back to India or whatever. So they end up in the United States. And so this is the country that takes them in.
And he only became a citizen in 2018, right? I think I saw that.
I think you're right. So this, our nation takes them in where the mother uses her talents and becomes, I guess, a film producer or something, something very lucrative. She's done well. And then the dad is a left-leaning professor. It's just ironic that even them, and then one generation removed down to the guy that wants to be mayor, it's like why would they hate everything about this country, mm-hmm. hate everything about capitalism and swear against it? It's just kind of bizarre the way that seemed to happen. Also in New York City now, when you think that they say it's the most Jewish of cities in the United States, but at the same time, you have kind of a watered-down Jewish citizens who are not as religious, mm-hmm. people who are educated differently than their parents before them. And so it's not, it doesn't look like that'd be really an impediment to him winning the election, mm-hmm. As amazing as that sounds.
Yeah, he said he refused to condemn, he said globalize the Intifada or something. Yeah. Like that. It's pretty wild to think that that's where we are with New York City now. But
really
he took the populism, he took the left populist route, and what Trump did so successfully on the right, leaning into what makes America great, he's doing the same thing on the left.
Yeah.
And clearly it's working. And I don't know if it's a great idea for his two opponents to be Eric Adams and Andrew Cuomo, two men who have been through, I mean, accusation after lawsuit, pardons flying. It's wild that the moderate Democrats decided those were the guys that were going to take care of business. But maybe they don't have that many options. I know Bloomberg's going to be feeling a little bit lighter in the pockets after this whole election's done because he doesn't want Mamdani to win, from what I understand.
Okay, that'll be interesting.
But I wanted this poll because it kind of ties into this whole thing. And I know some folks have been talking about this recently, but a new Gallup poll, and only 36% of Democrats say they are extremely or very proud to be American.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's clear that Gen Z are the ones really driving that number down for those who were proud to be American. The findings are a stark illustration of how many, but not all, Americans have felt less of a sense of pride in their country over the past decade. The split. So here's the split between Democrats and Republicans. 56 percentage points That's Democrats not feeling proud to be American and Republicans feeling proud to be Americans.
So the Republicans are where?
Let's see if I can get you the exact number. So I'm trying to look for the exact poll. And you've got Democrats and Republicans. This is a story that's kind of being picked apart by me on the air right now. So they say the split between Democrats and Republicans, 56 percentage points, is at its widest since 2001. I'm guessing that poll came out pre-9/11, and that was the bump that it needed for the next two decades. It includes all 4 years of Trump's first term, this poll. Only about 4 in 10 U.S. adults who are part of Gen Z, born between 97 and 2012, expressed a high level of pride in being American in these Gallup surveys. Now, I have noticed that the younger generations that are pro-America or many pro-MAGA are even more patriotic than the millennials or a couple of the generations before them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like retro, yeah. where yeah. a lot of these young kids are really feeling the red, white, and blue, and I love that. But on the other side, a majority of them, 6 in 10, this is the millennials, 6 in 10 millennials don't have a high level of pride or do have a high level of pride in being American, and 7 in 10 U.S. adults in older generations feel that pride. So Gen Z, the only generation that have more people that don't feel a sense of pride in America than they do. The decline's been a slow, steady downtick since January of 2001. And they said even during the tumultuous early years of the Iraq War, the vast majority of U.S. adults, whether they were Republican or Democrat, said they were extremely or very proud to be American. At that point, about 9 in 10 were extremely or very proud to be American. Now, 58% of U.S. adults say the same thing, and the vast majority of Republicans continue to say they're proud. Independence pride in their national identity hit a new low. It's at 53%. When Trump first entered the White House in that first term, about two-thirds of Democrats said they were proud to be American, and that had fallen to 42% by 2020.
Yeah, I think they're conflating the Trump administration with America or something like that. I mean, they're not proud to be Americans because they're not proud of the
administration.
The administration. So, that's not necessarily not. I guess there are people who are simply not proud to be surrounded by a country that voted for Donald J. Trump.
That's
they look at it like it's some sort of a betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, why do you think that? Why do you think they think it's a betrayal?
Because of the way that Trump has been portrayed for all these years, and if you buy Morning Joe, if that's your dude, that's where you're getting your news. Trump's been a villain. And anything and everything he does is can be vilified, even with the strike on Iran. I mean, look at that. He has turned the Middle East completely around. I'm not saying it was the best move ever. I know it was a risky move, but in the end, can you give him a little bit of credit? Because Iran is now a shambles.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out that this boogeyman Iran that we were so worried about all this time with their threats and constant threats about death to America and death to Israel and everything like that, within 2 weeks, they're toothless.
That's how it seems. I'm still a little concerned about this weekend, though. And,
well, I'm just saying.
The events going on
around
the country.
We could have lone wolf stuff going on because of all the people now inside our borders. But the country of Iran itself, completely on their knees.
Mm-hmm.
And for 50 years, we were scared to death of Iran.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's make a deal with Iran.
Let's do this really quickly. Quinn Hillier has called in. He's on line one. As I have a frog in my throat, so I'll let Quinn start talking while I kind of clear
that out. Quinn, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Look, I was listening to you all, and I was thinking, boy, I hope they've heard of this survey about how many people are proud or not proud of being American, and then lo and behold, 2 minutes later, you bring it up.
Yep.
So good on you all for doing that. I don't know whether to spend time saying all the wonderful reasons why we should be proud to be American, or to express unbelievable and deep anger at the people that aren't.
Mm-hmm. Do both.
The ingrates, the ungrateful wretches that do not understand and appreciate what we have here, it boggles my mind. And the fact that Gen Z has so many of them, it really is depressing, but it's a condemnation of our education system that hasn't taught civics and hasn't taught history. But it's also their fault if by the time you're adult you do not have an ability to understand context, to understand history, where we came from, there's something wrong. Let me say this. This country is a miracle of goodness. If you have any understanding of history, you know where we came from, you know the lack of freedom all across the globe until the United States came in. And you also know how often America has stood up and at great sacrifice freed tens and hundreds of millions of people without territorial gain for us, but only because it was the right thing to do. You look at the numbers of how charitable we are. We are the most charitable nation on earth. You can go on and on and on. And to fail to appreciate that and to not be grateful for it is in my mind, I don't know if it's a sin or if it's something worse than a sin, but it's inexcusable.
And quickly, Quinn, if this trend continues, I mean, I think we'll see more politicians akin to Mam Dhani in New York City being elected, right?
Yeah, which is just astonishing when you see how bad New York was before Rudy Giuliani got there.
Yeah.
How well he turned it around, and then they've in the last 10 or 12 years thrown that all away, and now they're going to an anti-Semitic hater who literally wants to give everything free and without any idea of how anybody's going to pay for it. It's astonishing. I want to take these Gen Z people, grab them by the scruff of the neck, and shake some sense into them.
Yeah, this guy is, at some point, well, he's exposing himself. He's calling himself a socialist, so we get that. But at some point, he's up against a clown in Adam. So
well, meanwhile, happy birthday, America.
Yeah.
And let's all celebrate. It's a great country.
Thank you, Quinn. All right, Quinn Hillier there for a quick little Wednesday hit.
Yeah.
6:24, coming back to the text, 251-343-0106.
28. Jason on the text line says, I love America and I thank God for it daily. I also love peace and quiet. So how did we get to the point where people are willing to turn their communities into Beirut over it? Well, not everybody loves the peace and quiet like you do, obviously.
Well, I saw, I think the people in Portland latest to really be over the Antifa, anti-ICE protests.
So okay, what happened there?
I saw a video of a few coming out of, I guess, apartments or homes and confronting these people and saying, hey, will you shut the hell up?
Yeah, no
kidding.
We're
trying to sleep. You're worse than ICE, and we don't like ICE. That's what they were saying up there.
Unbelievable. And by the way, if that bill passes somehow, there's
10,000 more 10, ICE.
10,000 more ICE
on the way.
Agents, yeah.
John says, I'm really sick of this crap. Someone where I work talks about us living on stolen land and says he doesn't like that too much. Michael, he said too much Quinn. I thought Quinn pretty strong there for that couple minutes he was on. And he says he's now hating America and 106.5. Come on, Michael. Let us win you back. The Real Sam sent me a meme. It's a Generation X, the last most patriotic generation. As a whole, New York is evil. It must be stopped. We get a few more texts in here on the other side. Plus, all of the firework events coming up. We'll lay out that schedule for you. Hey, appreciate it, Kane. 8:35 now on FM Talk 106.5's Mobile Mornings. And on the line, we talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're talking about the things we love about America and July 4th, my favorite holiday. And I know at McConnell Automotive, you guys are feeling patriotic this week as well. Tell us what's going on.
That's right. We got a lot of stuff going on here. We're going to be open Saturday. We hope everybody that don't go to the beach come by here and see us. I mean, we got some great deals on some vehicles here. We got great deals on those big-time Sierra 3/4-ton trucks. I'm sitting there white, looking at the row of them. Got some AT4s out there. I'm sitting some Denalis. You want to pull a boat? They're perfect to pull a boat. Like I said, we're going to be here We're going to be closed Friday. We're going to be here Saturday. So y'all come on by and see us. Hope the weather looks like it's going to be a nice weekend and everybody be having fun.
Yeah, it is looking good. And hope you guys have a great week as well, Louis. We really appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Louis Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Quick story, and then I want to get to this University of Pennsylvania thing here real quick.
Mm-hmm. Don't, mm-hmm.
You know, we do love America, but we'll see things from time to time that just make us crazy. Like, how did they ever think that was a good thing? But so Brother Tommy, who you know, the oldest Brennan in our bunch, he had the all-time scoring in basketball in our high school. And he had the record. I think he still does. Well, he doesn't, because the baby of our family, six kids later, Noreen.
Came and broke it.
She broke it. And Tommy's joke would be, yeah, but you were playing against girls. It sounds like Tommy.
Yeah.
That's kind of a joke. It's kind of funny. But
that's kind of
accurate. Mm-hmm. So now we have the University of Pennsylvania on Tuesday modifying a trio of school records set by transgender swimmer Leah Thomas, and said it would apologize to female athletes disadvantaged by her participation on the women's swimming team, part of a reaction to a federal civil rights case.
Mm-hmm. And they're officially changing their rules going forward, too.
Yeah.
They'll base entrance to teams based on your biological sex and no men in women's locker rooms.
So up until, I don't know, not that long ago, University of Pennsylvania, if somebody mentioned that to me, I would be impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Harvard, for sure. That was one of the first schools that Ryder got a chance to visit. And it was Tommy at one time coached at Yale. We were impressed. I don't think Yale was that impressed with Tommy, but you were impressed by these schools.
Yeah,
you were impressed by the magnitude of the thought and the minds in these institutions. People with maybe deeper understanding of a lot of issues than I would have. I was just a kid on the streets throwing a basketball out of a hoop. But when I would hear these names of these schools, I'd be like so-and-so's going there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, wow. Like today, you know, somebody's going to Vanderbilt or something like that. You got to give it up, right?
It's impressive, yeah.
Yeah. And to think that they made these rules, the entire Ivy League was in on this. And now they're reversing and they're apologizing. But they told those girls on that team to zip it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did they let this transgender be on the team, dress where they dressed, compete, win, but they told the young ladies who had any kind of a problem with this, you don't want to express that in any way. So they were silenced at these amazing institutions of higher learning. And like I was telling you, the Sun Belt would have shut that down in no time, you know?
Dumb little
Sun Belt, they would have been like, yeah, we're not doing that. But the Ivy League that is so sure that they're smarter than we are, and as soon as that crap was happening, you and I were losing our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Live on the air, like, what? No!
Mm-hmm.
Little pea-brain Dan and Dalton, we could smell it for what it was, and most of our audience, obviously. And it takes 2 years later.
And threats, yeah.
And threats
of withdrawing or withholding funds.
And you're sorry that you ruined. Think if that was your daughter, and that was her senior year at Pennsylvania or any of the Ivy League schools, and she's worked real hard to have whatever opportunity she has to compete. And this goon is beating her in swimming and taking away awards that should be hers. And you apologize. And that's the most you can do after you, again, let it happen, invited it to happen, looked at the rest of the country or anybody that was disagreeing with you like they were the idiots. You are the idiots now. And it's obvious to everybody that, you know, for all whatever you are, boy, there's some things that you in the Ivy, you just get wrong.
Well, there's always been, I think there people have always had respect for many of those who've come out of the Ivy League schools, but there always has been a cultural divide.
Sure.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Because it does seem that the nose is pointed down.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the impression you get. But you can't argue how important they are to the country, because the people that usually graduate from those institutions end up holding considerable amounts of power somewhere down along the line. And if they're indoctrinated, you know, to be a Mamdani, mm-hmm. then you're going to run into more troubles later on. So what Trump is doing, and people think it's cruel the way they're going after these Ivy League schools, but there's really important institutions to our country. And you have to make sure that they're at least in line with the same values as the American people. And
close. Be
at least close. Yeah, exactly. Let's get to the texts. And Uncle Jake says, Dalton, if you enjoy fireworks, I do. I invite you to Hurley tomorrow. Starts at 7, fireworks around 8:45. Had a little over 3,000 attend last year. Myself, along with several other guys, actually light and shoot the fireworks off. That is awesome, Uncle Jake. Yeah, I'll have to, not this time. Maybe next year I'll be able to take you up on it. Glenn, love texts from Glenn. Let's see here. Having been fortunate enough to travel quite a bit in Europe, I will say there is a lot to like. The rail system is amazing. Clean, better food with less preservatives, safe, considerably less gun violence, more affordable, lodging, food cheaper. I travel a lot here also. It's considerably more expensive. I guess I agree with some of what you're saying. Rail system, I mean, fine. We're a big country. Rail system isn't exactly the most efficient way to get around America. If you're traveling in countries in Europe, sure, the underground, yeah, but the rail system, I love a good train, but we don't really need it so badly here. I hope you're not an Amtrak fan listening to that, but I think it's the truth. It's kind of a novelty these days.
Yeah, it is. And
of course, you do need a rail system to transport goods. That's probably the most important thing.
That's what we use it for.
Clean, better food, less preservatives. I fully agree with that. And that was a pretty strong plank in the Trump campaign by bringing on RFK. That and already seeing more moves on that than we have in any prior administration as far as getting the bad stuff, the unnecessarily bad stuff out of our foods.
Absolutely. There's dyes out.
Safe with considerably less gun violence. Yeah, I mean, parts are unsafe. You're never getting rid of the guns here. Not getting rid of my gun. You're not getting rid of the gangbanger's gun. So I'd like it to be more safe. But, Glenn, I have a feeling the way to make it more safe you will not like.
Well, you can move to New York. Mamdani, his idea?
He's going to ban the guns abolish the police at the same time.
That'll make that city so much safer.
Very smart. CB Carl, we were talking Amtrak, said we'll be taking the choo-choo to Gulfport to visit the CB Museum and New Orleans to visit the World War II Museum.
That's cool.
Joel, complaining about the animal shelter, the $10 million they're looking at using towards funding a new animal shelter for the city of Mobile. And he's also saying Amtrak, I give the train service a year and a half and it won't be doing anything. Keep the text coming, 251-343-0106. Tony Ann letting us know, final day today to enter to win a really cool trip, and this benefits, I believe, the Penelope House as well, this giveaway. Round-trip travel to Denver, Colorado, and a two-night hotel stay for two, and you can win two premium front-row seats to see the Red Clay Strays at Red Rocks Amphitheater.
Wow.
That show Monday, September 15th, and Red Rocks is, I think Sean called it a bucket list item for music fans a couple days ago. It certainly is. Also a signed poster. Of course, the Red Clay Strays from here in Mobile.
Well, are they not at the Wharf this weekend?
I think they are,
I think they've got a three-night stay. Three different nights. Could be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but Red Clay Strays at the Wharf.
That's awesome. I guess Apple Music has this thing now where you can see the songs you've listened to most over the last, I don't know, year or 2 years. And my tops were Red Clay Strays and Muscadine Bloodline. So kind of sticking local with the old music there. We were just talking about Jimmy Hall, and you and I passing videos back and forth, YouTube videos. You think about, we've been talking how many sports stars come out of our neck of the woods, but musically, an incredibly gifted community as well, and that's obvious. Let's talk about some of these shows coming up, some of these events, and
Red Clay Strays, I'm sorry, they are at the Wharf beginning July the 3rd, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Like that's awesome. Yep. Very, very cool. So as far as events, fireworks and the like, Let me try to get through these. Hopefully I don't repeat any of the same, because I'm pulling these from all of the different local sites. Today, you get fireworks at Saraland High School. I'm sorry, that's tomorrow. See, I've already messed up. July 3rd at Saraland High School, free show, feature face painting, balloon animals, and food trucks. Gates will open at 7 p.m. at Saraland High School tomorrow evening, and the fireworks will begin at 9. Satsuma First Baptist already held their event. For Mobile, they're doing it just like last year, as I believe because Cooper is still being worked on.
That's right.
That will be at the Battleship Memorial Park, and that'll run Friday, Independence Day. City of Mobile hosting fireworks from 6 to 9:30 p.m. at the USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park. Now, unless you get there early, and last year I played it, I was a little too cute.
What happened?
And ended up hanging out in the bankhead a little longer than I wanted to.
Oh,
and then
yeah, I remember
hanging out on the causeway a little longer. Right before we got to the battleship, they had, right before we got to the park, they'd filled up. So we made our way down the causeway and fortunately ended up with a pretty good spot there to see the show. But it is a little bit of a, you want to get there early is what I'm trying to let you know. Fireworks will begin at 9, $10 parking for cars, $30 for RVs. They'll also have, it says, from 12 to 8 on Friday, the Perdido Queen hosting dinner cruises, seating limited, and they'll do a Port of Mobile tour. And I guess, yeah, you'll be able to see the fireworks from that as well. So kind of link those two together. As we stay on this side of the bay, let's see, Sims, they held theirs as well. Baldwin County has a whole lot going on. And we'll start with, let's see, Gulf Shores, they're going to have theirs Friday night at 9. Annual fireworks spectacular at the Gulf State Park Fishing Pier. Show starts at 9 o'clock, and you'll be able to see it from pretty far off from the pier. They recommend, though, parking at the pier, Lake Shelby, or the State Park Beach Pavilion, and that is free. The Hangout, they're doing it all week, 4th of July celebration.
It's starting tonight, right?
Well, they actually began yesterday, with that, and they're just doing their Hangout thing with the live music and everything. So just a little more patriotic version of it. Let's see here. Fireworks over the Gulf, the waterfront spot. And I guess that's just a good spot to see what's going on with the city's fireworks there. Now, the Wharf, they're getting things started today. The Independence Day Street Party, 5 to 9 p.m. And they'll have bubble trucks, bounce houses, face painting, camel rides, which we did all this last summer, by the way.
There's
good
nothing
time.
More patriotic than riding a camel, around the United States of America.
Maybe the camel's name is Hulk Hogan. You never know. photo booths, live music, and they'll have the palm trees in patriotic colors and fireworks show at 8:45 at the Wharf. Floribama is going to have a party, All-American 4th of July party. Fireworks show starts at 9, and that'll be on Friday and Saturday. They have the Freedom Run, 4-mile run and walk, and a 1-mile fun run and walk. Registration's free. Red, white, and blue attire encouraged. And, of course, you can't miss out on the Miss Firecracker contest, which will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at Floribama.
Hang on.
And I promise you, I will
circle 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock. I won't be there, but I'll tell you what I won't do. I will not look at the pictures after the event of the Miss Firecracker contest.
And, you know, it'd also probably be interesting, you know, it, to some degree, to also look at the pictures of all of the contestants, not just the grand
champion.
Well,
you just want to make sure the judges had their heads on straight.
You say, how did this go? Was it fair?
Exactly. That's me and you. We're always about fairness. The Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach, they'll have their annual celebration Friday noon from 6 to 10 p.m., and they'll have music and then fireworks at 9. Man, it goes on and on and on. Daphne, all right, 9 p.m. on Friday, 4th of July fireworks display. And they'll do that thing where they link up with a local broadcast, so they'll have the patriotic music flowing while the fireworks go off in Daphne. Fairhope, July 4th, Henry George Park and the Fairhope Municipal Pier, annual concert and fireworks. Baldwin Pops kicking off the evening, the patriotic concert at 7:30 and then fireworks at 9. South Beach Park will be closed. The Rose Garden Circle will be open exclusively for pedestrians. No alcohol or personal fireworks are allowed. Are there people taking personal fireworks
to the fireworks
actually,
show?
Yeah, actually, that was happening on the causeway last year. We had some fireworks on the causeway and while the fireworks were going up.
So where is that noted that you can't bring your own fireworks?
That's in Fairhope.
Fairhope, okay.
Don't take your own fireworks.
And also, you still have construction down at that pier, so just, you know, understand everything's not all the way up to speed yet.
Let me rip through a couple more of these. Fairhope VFW Post 5660 and Fat Boys Grilling, annual fish fry, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday.
Love that place.
And you have the American Legion Post 199, classic 4th of July barbecue, starting at 10:30 Friday. Choose from pulled pork or half chicken plate at American Legion Post 199 in Fairhope. Alberta is going to do theirs July 5th, the Freedom Day celebration.
Gotta be some sausage.
Saturday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the new Bremen Road Sportsplex, or Bremen. The event has a watermelon eating contest. I got to put Peyton in that one, the four-year-old. She would destroy. Vendors and a variety of kids' activities and food trucks. Gumbo cook-off at American Legion Post 99 in Foley. That'll be on Friday, 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And OWA, of course, they'll be getting it going too. Friday, 4th of July. They'll actually have 3 days of live music, family-friendly activities, and a new fireworks show Saturday night at 8:45 at OWA.
A question on the text line, will there be fireworks at Alligator Alcatraz?
Mm. Are you talking Gator Gitmo right now?
They want to know if there'll be some fireworks there so those now in attendance can understand better what America's all about.
Where's the best parking there?
852. You see a gator, take a left at the snake. It's 852. Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:54. On the way, we have the Jeff Poore Show. And so, with that in mind, Mr. Jeff Poore, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Jeff, we'll get some politics here in a second. Independence Day plans, you got some big ones. What you thinking this week?
So the last few years, I've gone up to North Alabama to the Potato Festival, which is not necessarily for the Potato Festival itself, but there's a big political event the morning of that put on by the Speaker of the House and the majority leader in the Senate up the very northwest corners. But so what we're going to do this year, last year I took my radio gear and recorded a bunch of interviews, but I think this year I'm going to take my four-year-old and we're going to see the trash pandas tomorrow night on the way up in Madison or Huntsville, and then go to the event on the July 4th morning, and there's a bunch of like bouncy castles and a parade and all that.
Hmm.
And then we're going to go over to Chattanooga and hit a lookouts game on the 4th of July.
Wow.
And the goal here is, and it just kind of came upon me, to try to hit all these Southern League stadiums up at least for one game this year.
Yeah. Have you been to Hank Aaron?
No, yeah. We've been to Columbus, to the Kling Stones, and that's a nice new stadium. Biloxi for the Shuckers and to Montgomery for the Biscuits. We get those two this weekend, and then all I'll have left is Birmingham, Knoxville, and Pensacola.
Columbus, Georgia had an old, really old stadium downtown. Well, not what went downtown, really. It was near the football stadium, too, kind of a complex. They were both built probably back in the 40s or 50s. Where is this stadium in Columbus now?
So right when you cross the bridge, 280, like old Victory Drive, yep. There, it's right on the riverbank.
Okay. That's where the old stadium was.
That sounds like an awesome trip, especially for the kid and minor leagues. I mean, they know how to put on a show for the 4th of July. There's no doubt about
so,
that.
We've been a couple of Braves games. He likes the Braves games a lot. I mean, he likes doing the chop, but he gets to go like get autographs. And we got a foul ball at the Shuckers game a couple of weeks ago. Some guy about four rows down turned around, got it, and handed it to my four-year-old.
Oh, wow. That's always cool when an adult does that for a child, because we've seen the opposite, too.
And if you've been alone, Jeff, there's no way that guy's turning around and giving you the ball.
No, but and then we go down to the dugout to get autographs, and he's got his Sharpie and a baseball, and he goes down there, and then they hand him another baseball.
Wow.
Man, you're headed back with the whole case.
I'll tell you what, I know you love your boy, but when you travel around, don't you just see, he's like... A cute little magnet, but people just love him. I mean, just,
yeah, he goes around and he makes friends, so he finds other kids at these games. But he's like really kind of into it. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let us know who do you have coming up today.
We'll kick it off here just a little bit with Bradley J. McCauley at Breitbart News. Get the what's going to go happen in the House could happen today with the vote on the big beautiful bill. Joey Clark, News Talk 93.1, who's taking the day off but is still going to do his segment with me at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. And then Carolee Dobson, her first appearance as an unannounced candidate for Secretary of State.
Wow, that's awesome. This bill, we have just about a minute left with you. What odds do you give it of coming out of the House clean and onto his desk, onto the president's desk?
I think there could be an amendment or two. I'm not sure. I just it's hard to see the House taking what the Senate gave them and them having enough votes. I don't think they'll do anything radical to it. I know that this is like a time in history when you've got to do what you got to do. But probably higher than you would think. Maybe a little higher than 50%.
Wow. Okay.
It's a little optimistic.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Jeff. We'll let you get set, and we'll enjoy your show here coming up, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me on.
And tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Mobile mayoral race. Today, I'm hosting a forum, Southwest Mobile Chamber of Commerce. We'll hear from the candidates and check back with you tomorrow about that.
Is your wife hot? Nothing can make your life more miserable than a hot wife.